So the British Isles gave us golf and tennis, and Prodigy was stalking the golf course of the U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy, whew, what a record performance.
Did the British Isles give us all those white tennis outfits?
Or? I think probably, and the bleach to go with it. Joining us now, Jim Courier, former world number one professional tennis player. He won four Grand Slam singles title. Wimbledon underway, even as we speak, in Britain. Jim Courier, first of all, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
The man of the fiery service return and the unbeatable serve day.
And it's pleasing to hear that I'm aging well. That's the thing I'm most happy to hear this morning.
It's a domestic headline there for
40
you.
40 years old, not too bad.
What's it like to play at Wimbledon? What's it like for the young player? You're a prodigy yourself.
Yeah, it's Mecca. The first time I got to play at Wimbledon, it was as a junior, so I was 16 years old. And just walking onto the grounds is breathtaking because it's one of those sights that you grew up watching as a young child and dreaming about even being there to watch as a fan, let alone be able to be on the courts, in the locker room, and be a piece of the tournament. It really has a special aura to it. These tournaments, they have their own special smell because of the fresh-cut grass.
Strawberries.
Very different. The strawberries and cream. the way the crowd, the way that they cheer is different than in other tournaments. It's got a real reverent feel to it from everyone, from the players to the fans. It's really neat.
We should remind people, the reason you're here in the studio with us is because you're part of the HSBC Wimbledon program. You're going to be playing with the folks up at Rock Center.
That's right.
In New York.
That's right. We have the only grass court in Manhattan has been laid down at Rock Center by HSBC. HSBC sponsors Wimbledon overseas, but they also bring a taste of it here to New York City for the fans for this week. So all week long, there's a huge TV there, massive screen TV that's going to be airing Wimbledon all day long there. So coming out on your lunch break, you can watch tennis. It's really cool.
I kind of blew it with the aging well thing. I should have said, come down and beat Courier. Right. Look at him. He's got a paunch. He can barely walk. Beat him. Yeah.
And that's not true.
You know, I got to ask you, coming off this news of Rory McIlroy becoming the young, 22 years old, and you were so young, the youngest to get into the finals of all four.
Right.
What would your advice be for Rory McIlroy or other young athletes on how to survive as a very young person?
Well, first of all, surround yourself with good people and don't take on a lot of new friends once you win, because you're going to have a lot of hangers-on now that want to be a part of his entourage. So
interesting.
But I think you can tell a lot by how people respond to the moment and the way that he was smiling, the way that he was around his father and then Graham McDowell, last year's U.S. Open champion, who came down to celebrate with him on the golf course yesterday. I think you get a pretty good feeling that Rory McIlroy is going to be just fine. I think he's got a really good head on his shoulders.
It's and about also, the golf, not
also,
the celebrity.
And maybe. Also, if you look at how he responded to his blow-up, his meltdown of the Masters by coming back and setting these records now at the U.S. Open, he's focused on being a great golfer. He's going to have a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys follow people on Twitter. I do.
Yes.
I don't tweet particularly often, but I use it as a news feed.
Sure.
And I like to follow Rory. He's funny. Well, he's a good one.
It's an interesting story because with the LeBron James sort of crash and burn in the finals, what's between the ears of these championship athletes is almost as important as their physical prowess. I mean, he certainly proved McIlroy that he can do it. How does that play out in tennis?
Well, in tennis, I think it is very similar. I think there's so many players in the top 100 that have all the skills, right? But it's what you can do with those skills and how you do it at crunch time that separates in tennis. And tennis is different from golf. Golf, unlike pretty much every other game that I'm aware of, you can't play defense in golf, right? Like, I couldn't go out and block his shot. In tennis, you can. So in tennis, you have to develop your offense and your defensive skills. And but mentally, you have to be able to put them all together. And we look at it, the greatest player from the amount of slams won in our sport in the men's game is Roger Federer. And he was a late bloomer. He didn't win his first major until I think he was 22.
Interesting.
And then he's won 16 in total now and still going. So it takes a while to put it all together.
Tennis does seem to favor the younger athletes. It's also changed a lot in the past three generations. I mean, I think you are the herald of the extremely fast-paced game where, it was just pure strength blowing around. How would you rate the game with the Federers and Nadals of the world compared with the game that you played?
Well, I think that the game, it definitely evolves, and I think the technology has also helped the game move. So the rackets, I was part of the generation that switched from wood rackets into graphite rackets and then the titanium. And now the string has changed, which has enabled the current generation of players to really foster the power and harness that power is the word I'm looking for, and control it. We couldn't use a strong player like myself couldn't use a really strong racket because I couldn't control the ball. The ball went too fast, too far. So we, Sampras, Edberg, and myself all used the same racket, which was basically the racket that Federer uses now. You contrast. There's a great article today by Chris Clary, the New York Times, on the three different rackets that are used by the three top male players, Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, and Rafael Nadal, and how very different they are. They're Federer and Nadal, two ends of the spectrum. Nadal is a hyper-powerful racket with a really wicked spinning string that helps him control that. It's basically nuclear technology versus Federer's using real simple rackets that I was using in 1985 when I switched to the Wilson Pro Staff.
And this is all Djokovic American technology, right, that we gave for these foreigners.
That's right.
And that's why the Americans aren't doing as well.
Probably true.
Wait, did you just say the Americans aren't doing? Do you think that this is not the era of American tennis right now?
For the Williams sisters?
Well, and the Williams sisters are they're incredible.
Yeah, force of nature.
Yeah, and then they haven't played all year long, basically, and they're still probably in the top three or four favorites for Wimbledon. In the men's game, Andy Roddick has had an amazing career, but he's been cut off by Roger Federer at so many ends of these majors. In another era, Roddick would have 4, 5, 6 Grand Slam titles. He has one, and he's been ranked number one in the world, but once Federer got a hold of him, he hasn't really been able to punch through, but Roddick has been ranked in the top 10 for 10 consecutive years. Only he and Federer have done that. Amazingly consistent, but our country doesn't care unless you're winning, and that's a bit, that's a little bit of a burden he bears, but he bears it very well.
One last question on Andy Murray. Speaking of the pressure that exists for players at Wimbledon, you know that pressure really well. Andy Murray, of course, playing on home court, has not made it. What's it going to take for him to raise his game and possibly make it through?
It's a great question. Andy Murray is from Scotland, but he's basically the great British hope there for Wimbledon. No one's won since Fred Perry, I think, in 1923 in the men's side. So there's a ton of expectation and burden on his shoulders. For him, he needs to elevate his game. He's really a counterpuncher, and the issue for him is in the major finals he's competed in so far, he's really played a diminished version of what he's capable of rather than trying to go out and really take it to his opponent. He's really played within himself and hoped for someone to give it to him. That doesn't work at the highest level.
So
you have to take it from him.
Maybe on Murray before we go. Yep. You want to call it the Djokovic,
I'm calling Nadal for the win, assuming that Federer beats Djokovic. If Djokovic is in the final, I think Djokovic beats Nadal.
Interesting. Wow.
On the women's side, no idea.
No idea. Jim Courier, former world number one, who was going to be playing down at Rock Center, right? Challenging all comers?
Noon today, Monica Seles and I will be down there on the grass court at Rock Center, so come on down.
There's a reason to go into Midtown on a summer day. Jim Courier, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.